not rehash what we're teaching right now. So I'm just telling you, some of the things we're going to say in the next lesson, we're going to make the assumption. I know this is, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm making the assumption that you're going to stay awake and pay attention. Okay, but if you do that, some of the things we say, and you'll see that in the next lesson, we'll make some statements that just kind of come back to this without rebuilding the whole foundation again. But for tonight, we're in Acts chapter 4, and we're talking about the necessity of generosity. And so we're going to start in verse 31 of Acts 4, and we're going to read down to verse 37, which is the end of the chapter. Trust you found your place. I'll start reading in verse 31. You just follow along, and I shall read out loud from verse 31 to verse 37. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. But with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. That's the idea of generosity there. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what he's talking about, this generosity he's talking about, is it's funneling through the church, but the same heart's desire of generosity is there, whether you give it to the church and the church spreads it out, or whether you yourself is giving it, the same idea of generosity would be true. Now, let me start this way. If we lived in a perfect world, it would make doing right easy. Now, it started out as a perfect world. That's how God created it. And then man and Adam and Eve had their own ideas and messed everything up. Now, why would it make it easy? Well, we would want to do right. We would know how to do right. And others, now this is key to where we're going, others would respond properly when we did right. Now, what do I mean by the responding properly? Well, they would acknowledge that what we're doing is right. They would encourage us in what we're doing that's right. And they wouldn't fight against it or make it hard for us to do right. But here is the part that I think we also need to understand. Nor would they misuse or take advantage of us doing right. Sometimes that's even harder than the attack. We're trying to do right. Someone resists it. It gets bothersome after a while, but you kind of get used to it. But I think what hurts more is when you do right and you feel like people are taking advantage of you because you're doing right. And the tendency is, I ain't going to do that anymore because you're taking advantage of it. And that's not the right response. We often struggle with generosity because of this, because it's unappreciated or it's abused. And we're like, well, I don't want to be generous towards people because people take advantage of when I'm being generous. Now, that would be the same as if you applied it to, let's say, soul winning. If someone, you try to win someone and they give you a hard time or they don't respond correctly and you're like, well, I'm not going to go out soul winning anymore. What would you say? No, that's not why you're going soul winning. You're going soul winning because that's the right thing to do, regardless of how they respond. And the same thing is true about generosity. Regardless of how people respond to our generosity, it doesn't change the fact that generosity is what a behavior that God expects in us. So we struggle when it's not dealt with or responded to in the way we want it to be. Now, we need to be, when we think about this idea of generosity, there is a need to be wise and prudent. Not everyone who's looking for help needs to get our help. Okay, some people, they're not really looking for help. What they're looking for is the wherewithal to continue in their sin. I'm not trying to help. My idea of generosity is not to help you go out and buy you more beer or cigarettes or booze. Okay, that's not why I'm not going to help you do that. If you need food, I'll go take you somewhere and get you something to eat. If you need gas, I'll take your car to the gas station and put gas in your car. I'm not going to give you money because who knows how it's going to be used. I'm not against generosity, but we do need to be wise and prudent in our generosity. Okay? Now, as we look now at this book, this chapter, this text here in the book of Acts, it's interesting what's going on, and the Lord records it here on purpose. And as you look at Acts or any other parts of the Bible, sometimes you've got to ask ourselves, is it simply descriptive? And some of the Bible is descriptive. It just tells us things that happen. Or we got to ask ourselves, is it prescriptive? That's two different thoughts. Descriptive is simply a list of events and facts that occurred at some period in the past. And there's some things written, like if you read Kings and Chronicles and places like that, it tells us things that happened. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to do those things, it's just revealing to us the events that happened. But when we come to the book of Acts, it is descriptive because it is telling us, but it's much more than it. It is prescriptive. So descriptive is simply a list of events and facts. Prescriptive, like if you get a prescription, like a medicine, prescriptive means it's telling us these things because it's an example God expects us to follow. So there's a prescription here, or there is an example here to follow. So when we come to Acts 4, this is a prescriptive behavior that the Lord has an expectation that we as a church follows this behavior of this church in Jerusalem. Now, what we see here in Acts chapter 4, is this church was a very generous church. People said, here's what I need to live on. I have all of this extra. And why should I have all this extra sitting there not being used when someone doesn't have food to eat or someone can't pay their rent or someone here is really struggling or something? Why don't I take some of this and use it to help them? And that's what you're seeing, this idea of generosity. Now, I would tell you tonight, I believe, from reading this and some other verses, I believe it is the expectation and the requirement of God that we as God's people be generous. Now, a lot of times when we talk about faith and finances, we talk about, you know, giving to God's work. We have mentioned that multiple times, and that is a true statement. But I'm going to tell you this, now watch what I'm going to say, because doesn't make everyone happy. The first big hurdle is get you to tithe. The second big hurdle is to get you to give a love offering, whether it's missions or whatever it may be. The third hurdle is get you to be generous beyond that. God expects us to be generous people. Not just, not just giving the tithe, which is right, not just giving a love offering, which is right, but beyond that, being generous towards others and what we have and sharing with them. And I would tell you tonight, I believe it's a necessity. It is something God expects from us and that we should be a part of. Now, I'm going to share four things with you tonight about this necessity of generosity. Some of I've already alluded to, but now we'll look at it more specifically. So here's the first thing I'm going to say, which this is what I've already alluded to. Number one is this: generosity is an obligation, something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be generous people. Now, I'll say this, and I'll probably say it again in the next lesson. I do believe that we have generous people in our church. I've seen it myself. I've witnessed it. I've been on the receiving end of it myself. I do believe we have generous people in our church. So I'm not condemning anyone. I'm trying to encourage all of us to be this way. But we see clearly from Scripture, generosity is an obligation. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They looked at their possessions as, I may have this in my hands, but it's not mine, it's the Lord's, and I should use it as the Lord would want, and the Lord would want me to help others with it. So they understood this obligation. Let me show you some other verses about this. 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So I would encourage you tonight, as we go through this lesson, let the Lord speak to your heart about being generous. I think this, one of the great blessings is being able to bless other people. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a great blessing in giving. It's like this, when you're a kid and it was Christmas time, I know, you're in 1 John, I'll get to it in a moment. Remember when you're a kid in Christmas time, it was all about getting that gift, opening it up, seeing what it was. But as a parent, you have as much joy, maybe more joy, by watching your kid open it up. You gave it, and they enjoyed it. And it's a greater blessing than even when you were a kid to receive it. 1 John chapter 3, look with me at verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, God has this expectation we'd be generous. Go with me another place, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, when we read 1 John 3, we saw a word here at the end of verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, look in Galatians 6, look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That would be the brethren. So, yes, we ought to be generous in a broad way, but very specifically, we ought to be generous towards fellow believers. That's what he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So generosity is an obligation. Our primary obligation in generosity is towards those who are fellow believers. Now, I'm no way am I saying that if you help someone who's an unbeliever, it's wrong or it's not right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is my primary focus of generosity is to my fellow believers. So it's not wrong to show generosity towards unbelievers, but our priority is to believers. And I would say this, I would say it probably should begin in our fellow believers that we know are fellow believers that we enjoy fellowship with in our church. I mean, help everyone you can help. But if there's someone in our church who is struggling, shouldn't that not be our initial concern? I think it should be. So it's not wrong to show generosity towards unbelievers, but our priority is to believers. Now watch this statement. It should concern us that fellow believers are struggling while we are at ease. I'd hate to think this. I'm going home to eat dinner, and there's people in this church who go home, and there's not a bit of food in their house. I mean, how can I sit there and enjoy a big meal and know my fellow believers are looking at an empty table? That should bother me. You know, if I'm sitting in the house in the middle of the winter, and I'm, you know, got my heat turned up, and, oh, it's nice and warm in here, and there's someone else who's their heat's off, and they're sitting in their house freezing, that should bother me. Now, I understand there are certain, sometimes there's consequences to wrong behavior, but you can't completely be cold towards everyone. There's got to be some warmth in your heart towards them. And sometimes I know that choices have consequences. I know choices have consequences. I've said that. And sometimes those consequences help them to not make those choices again. And there needs to be wisdom and prudence, but I don't want to be so cold-hearted to say, well, that'll teach them. I don't want to be so cold-hearted that way. I'm probably going a whole bunch of trails today. It is too easy to be cold. It's too easy to get hard-hearted in this world. I want my heart to stay tender towards the Lord and tender towards people, especially fellow believers. I think it's important that we do that. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing. Well, I can't help everyone. I know you can. There's 8 billion people in the world. You cannot help everyone. That is a true statement. But everyone can help someone. And that help can make a big difference. So the truth is, the needs will always be greater than you can fill. But fill the needs that you can. So generosity is an obligation. We all should look at it that way. I'm obligated, and also, okay, I want to do it, but also I'm obligated to do it. I am obligated to be generous with what I have. Okay, let's look at now a second thought about this, because we, again, hit this, but we'll hit it now more specifically. Back to Acts chapter 4. And verse 32 again. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. That brings us to number two. Not only is generosity an obligation, but generosity acknowledges God's ownership. Generosity is a part of being a good steward of the Lord's possessions. Brother Howes used to, he called this the silent sermon. This is what he would call it. So he would go like this. This is as he's praying. Okay, in case you wonder what I'm doing. I'm praying. And he would receive, and then he would share. And then he would pray and receive, and he would share. And he would keep doing that. But here's what happens. We start doing this. We start doing this. And we start doing this, and we do this. And then we do this. What happened? Why do you think God in heaven, his only purpose is to keep filling your pockets? That's not his only purpose in blessing you. One of the reasons he blesses you is because he wants you to be a conduit so that his blessings travel like a water hose. He travels through you to get where he needs it to go. And so we acknowledge his ownership in our generosity. Lord has given me, if I have enough, okay, again, I got to be careful because people go into ditches and I don't want you to go. It is not wrong to have a savings. It's not wrong to make some plans and all those things are good. But eventually we got to ask ourselves, how much is enough? How much I need to keep shoving in every crack and every crevice of my house? How much I need to keep hoarding? When can I say enough is enough? Let's share with other people. And so he acknowledges God's ownership. So generosity is part of being a good steward of the Lord's possessions. God often uses one person as the conduit of his blessings to another person. And by the way, I'm going to go out on a limb again, and I think he's probably blessed you this way. Someone has done something for you that God did in their life, and that they were a conduit, and it came to you. And that's how God wants to use you as well. So God places possessions under our control so that he can use us then to bless other peoples. People. So ultimately what you have is not yours but God's. That was a whole lesson in itself a few weeks ago. And God expects us to use what he's given us, what he's put in our possession, to be used according to his will. So let's look at a verse about this. 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29. And go down to verse 14, if you will. First Chronicles 29. Verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So even when you're being generous, you're really not giving your stuff to people. You're giving God's stuff to people. It's not yours anyways. You're just sharing what God has shared with you. So generosity acknowledges God's ownership. Being generous is using God's resources to accomplish God's will according as he leads us. Number three. Man, we're moving along here. Number three. Back to Acts. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. So we saw it as an obligation. We see it as part of stewardship, this idea of generosity. Now look at verse 31 of Acts 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God boldness, and multitude of them that believed were in one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them out of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. But it begins with this idea that there was prayer involved. So that brings us to number three. Generosity should be governed by prayer. See, Pastor, I don't know who I should help and who I shouldn't help. Ask God. God has a way of leading his people who have sincere heart. Now, it may not be easy peasy, but it's possible. And it happens. Okay, the Holy Spirit has a way of leading his people. Since we cannot help everyone, we should pray and ask the Lord to lead us to those he wants us to help. Just say something like, Lord, I got today. Who am I going to meet today you want me to help? Now, I'm going to hit this here in a second, but let me just preface and give it to you up front. A lot of times when we talk about generosity, we're talking about giving people money, right? Or something like that. some possession, some money, something with a cash value. That's not the only way to be generous. Sometimes being generous is with your words. A kindness, a kind word. Sometimes being generous is helping someone, going out of your way to help them. You're being generous with your time. There's a lot more to generosity because people say, well, Pastor, I'm just telling you, I have a hard time paying my own bills. Okay, I understand we all have struggles. But generosity is much broader than money. My guess is you probably have more than what you're letting on. But anyways, generosity is more than just about money. There's other ways to be generous, and how do you know how to be generous? You ask the Lord about this. Why were these people selling what they had and sharing it? Because they were praying and seeking the Lord, and as they sought the Lord put upon their heart what they could do for each other. So let's put it this way. Ask the Lord if there's anything you can do to help someone in each interaction you have. If you're interacting with someone, while you're talking or whatever, you can say, Lord, is there something I can say to help this person? Something I can do to help this person? Again, you say, Pastor White, I can't help everyone. Okay, we've covered that already. But you're going to go 24 hours, another 24 hours, another 24 hours, another 24 hours, and never help anyone? Isn't there something you can do for someone? Well, you know, it'd be an inconvenience. I know, that's why it's called generosity. You're going out of your way. You're giving your time. You're giving your words. You're giving your love. You're giving your compassion. Whatever it is, you're giving. I know it's a sacrifice, but that is what we're called to do as believers. We read this verse a moment ago. He laid down his life, so are we supposed to lay down our life? So this idea of this generosity and being sacrificial. So we ask the Lord, is there anything we can do to help someone in each of these interactions? The Lord can prompt us to share a friendly greeting, a kind word, or even, I know, a financial gift that may impact them and make a difference. Now, I got to bite my tongue a little bit because I don't want to teach the next lesson, and a lot of that next lesson kind of dovetails back into this, so I'm trying to be careful. I'm just trying to keep this as the foundational part. But there's a lot that can be done if we would actually ask the Lord, Lord, how could I be generous to others today? Sometimes God leads us to those who need us to be generous, not just with our money, but maybe a word of encouragement. And there's some people who are better than others. Some people are real good, like they go out to eat, they can talk to the server and be friendly and everything. I'm not so much. I'm there to eat. And I'm really thinking about it. I just tell you, sometimes I get selfish that way. I wish I was better at it. But ask the Lord, you know, what can I say to this person? How could I help this person? What can I give of mine that might be a blessing to them? Again, it's not always money. And just being generous in all kinds of different ways. So generosity should be governed by prayer. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do today to be a blessing to someone else? My guess is he'll bring you across that path. Number four. Fourth one. Wow, record speed today. I don't know, must be the rain. Number four, Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. So we see this prayer in verse 31, and now we see this grace here in verse 33, and both of those are part of this generous behavior that we see happening in verse 34 and down. So that brings us to number four. Generosity should be done with grace. God's grace is the great example of generosity. Now, I want you to get this statement. Because sometimes we're generous, but we're not always. We may be generous in that we're giving, but we don't always have the right attitude in that generosity. We're almost, sometimes, and maybe it's not us, but some people can be this way. It's almost a condescending behavior in your generosity. As if you're pitying them. It's not just about pitying people. It's being kind to people. Okay? So here's the statement. Generosity is not just showing pity, but using God's resources to show grace and mercy to someone in need. Now, we've all seen the TV show where the rich guy comes by and just drops a few coins and kind of, you know, snobbishly, like he's doing this great act. And the poor person is at least happy to get a few coins. And you always look at it like, you know, why do you got your nose up in the air for? You're no better than anyone else. Okay, that's how we respond to it. That's how the Lord responds to it. So we're not talking about being pity. We're not about condescending. Not trying to make, and I'm trying to embarrass people. We're not trying to, you know, when you're trying to be generous to someone, they need to keep their dignity. You're not trying to embarrass them. You're just trying to show grace and mercy, not just pity, but grace and mercy, as the Lord has shown grace and mercy to us. Now we're going to back up for a moment. Even though our primary obligation is to fellow believers, and that is true, that is not to say we have no obligation to unbelievers. And especially as we think about this being done with grace. It could be, now think about this statement, it could be that our generosity would open the door to a gospel witness. So I'm not saying never be generous to unbelievers. I'm going to be real careful because I'm not trying to promote their sin. I'm not trying to aid and abet the sinful things they're doing. Okay, but if I can be generous to someone in a way, and I got to be, again, wise and prudent, but if I can do it in such a way that it opens the door to a gospel witness, then why would I not want to do it? Now, it doesn't always. They may want your generosity, but not the witness. That may be, but I try to, if I can, tie the two together. Here's an old story. I told you this. This happened way back in the other building. A fella got out of jail right down here at the police station, walked up, because we're only about a block away, walked up to our church and asked for a ride. I happened to be at the place. And I said, sure. He wanted to go over, I think he worked at Hawks Road, some type of tire place on Hawks Road or something like that. I can't remember. No, I'm just kidding. But it was out in that area, out Columbia Station, I think. I took him out there somewhere. And so here's what I thought. You're going to be in a car with me. It's going to take me about 15, 20 minutes to get there. Wonder what we're going to talk about. Indians? Browns? Cavaliers? Jesus? Ding, 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 ding. And I had a chance to witness to him. Did he get saved? No. He actually, here's the surprising thing. He knew the plan of salvation. He could finish the verses. Sometimes he said, okay, yeah, and he would lead me into the next one. He knew the plan of salvation probably better than a lot of Christians I know. But he was lost. Sad story, isn't it? But I used the generosity of, I'm going to get in my car, you're going to get in my car, I'm going to take you to this place and drop you off. Now, I'm not telling you to look for, you know, convicts and pick them up and take them places. Okay, again, wisdom and prudence is necessary, but I felt safe. So anyways, I took him where he's going and I had a chance to witness to him. To me, that was a way to use generosity as a way also to extend grace and mercy to this person. So we're looking for maybe a door to a gospel witness. Let me give you a couple more statements. We should show generosity to others with the same grace that God shows to them. What do I mean by that? It's not based on appearance, but on their true need that we can meet. We have to be careful that we're not only... My English is atrocious there for a moment. We got to be careful that our generosity is only limited to people that we like the way they look or approve of their clothing and bathing and such. Okay? We can't only help. Sometimes there's people who are homeless that we got to be generous to. Some people who you might look at and say, that's different. But God makes no bigotry or discrimination towards people when he extends grace to them. Again, everything is done with wisdom and prudence. We're not trying to encourage sin. I'm not going to help some drug addict get more drugs. I'm not helping some boozer to get more booze. Okay, I'm not saying anything like that. But if I can help, if I can truly meet a need in a generous way, I'm going to try to do that. Believers first. Unbelievers, second. Look with me at Luke chapter 10. In And just so you understand, whichever side you want to understand about this, if I'm going down the street and there's some guy who just, homeless, please give, and he's got a little tin can there, I'd never give. Okay? I don't. That's, to me, is not being generous. To me, that's encouraging their sin. Now, I have taken people and they said, I'm broken down and I need some gas. Okay, I will bring you gas or take you, you go with me in your car and I'll put gas in your car. If you're hungry, we'll get you some food. But I'm not just giving people money so they can do whatever they want to do with it. There needs to be wisdom and prudence in our generosity. Luke chapter 10, let me show you this verse about what we're just talking about. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? He's trying to get out of it. Then Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by the context, this would be a Jewish person that's being left half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, it's important because the Samaritan and the Jews, they didn't mix. Samaritan wouldn't help a Jew wouldn't help a Samaritan just because one was the other. But that's not true here. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, so now this is costing him something, and set him on his own beast, which means now he's going to be walking, most likely, and this guy's going to be riding the beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them, which is basically 2 days' wage. And he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest that was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And he said, He that showeth mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So that's what we're talking about, this grace and mercy in our generosity. All right. Let me give you some concluding thoughts. Yeah, we're doing pretty good. And again, this is all foundational to the next lesson, but we're going to build on some more. Go back with me to Acts 4 for a moment. So I'm not going to say it. I'm going to see if you see what I see. Or maybe you already saw it. Maybe it jumped out at you. So if you start in Acts 4 and start in Acts 4 starting in verse 31, you'll see, well, let's look at verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed. So there's a huge number there. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. So there was a number of people, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to as he had need. So from verse 31 to verse 35, it's just mentioning a crowd. What's interesting is when we get to verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Does that ring a bell, Barnabas? Barnabas, 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 Barnabas. That's Paul's partner, right? Paul and Barnabas. The only fellow who's mentioned in this account, there's a lot of people being a part of this. God only mentions one person by name. And it's the person who's going to help the apostle Paul get started in his great ministry. So I think it speaks well of Barnabas and his generosity. So it is interesting that the only man mentioned in our text by name for his generosity is also the man that is used to start Paul in his missionary work. Generosity is necessary if we're going to be used of God to help others, influence others in God's work. In this idea here, we see about Barnabas, he's a very generous person, but it doesn't end with him being generous just to fellow believers and helping them pay their bills. He's also generous and, hey, here's Paul, at that time Saul, and let's be generous towards him and let's get him grounded and let's help him and encourage him in the great work. So the whole generosity is not just, again, not just dollars and cents, but it's giving of myself, helping others in ways even beyond in a currency sense or a dollar and cent sense. Now, let me give you one statement. I'm leaving it kind of open. It's not a concluding conclusion because we're going to continue on the next lesson. Let me give you two things to write down. You can be a born-again believer and be selfish. I've met some of those. I don't want to be it. I'm not saying I'm the most generous person, but I don't want to be selfish. It's too easy to do that. I don't want to be that person. I hope I'm not. But you can be a born-again believer and be selfish. That is a possibility. You can be a born-again believer and be a liar. You can be a born-again believer and be a thief. None of those are right. None of those should be. But it is, I mean, my guess is you met believers who you're like, that's not the way you should be living there, bud. Now, you can be a born-again believer and be selfish. And by that I mean not be generous. But watch this next statement. But you cannot be a born-again believer and be selfish and make a difference in the lives of others. If you want to make a difference in the lives of others, you're going to have to be generous. Generous with your time, generous with your words, generous with your love, generous